First, according to the AP, the four biggest airlines in the U.S. lost $10 billion combined in the months of April through June. The coronavirus pandemic is the primary driver of significantly reduced air travel, and airlines have been working hard to add and share safety procedures and bring back air travelers.
Every day, we spend between 6 to 7 hours with each aircraft, sanitizing every surface from the flight deck to the back belly.
We will clean customer and team member high-touch areas using the same disinfectant.
Our air circulation system completely circulates the cabin air every 2 to 3 minutes, meaning that
we introduced an electrostatic fogging procedure.
We have expanded electrostatic spraying.
We've also expanded electrostatic spraying across our entire...
If it doesn't meet our standards, our employees have the authority to hold the flight for additional cleaning.
And when you're ready to fly, we're ready for you. We promise.
And while airlines were among the companies that received federal assistance from the first relief package passed months ago, they're saying they need more help now. Seth Kaplan is a transportation analyst for NPR and WBUR's Here and Now. He's a former managing partner at the trade publication Airline Weekly, and he's co-host of the podcast Airlines Confidential. Seth, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here, Rob.
What is the state of flying today?
Well, you said it. It's a smaller industry than it was, almost non-existent in terms of international flights, but even domestically, far off where things were a year ago, although somewhat up from where they were just several months ago. The question here going forward is how quickly things are going to rebound. There was some optimism a couple months ago as states began reopening, states like Wisconsin, of course, that maybe things wouldn't be so bad. That it would all rebound more quickly than sort of the worst case scenarios. But then you had that second wave of COVID, and looking ahead here, hard to be optimistic that travel is going to be anything like it previously was, kind of like everything in life, nothing like it previously was anytime soon.
Talk about some of the safety precautions. We heard the advertising there. How much has flying changed in terms of these hygiene options, ones we see and ones we don't?
Yeah, dramatically. I mean, all airlines are cleaning their planes more thoroughly, fogging the planes overnight, even domestic aircraft. That's something they typically did coming off of international flights to get rid of any kind of bugs and so forth that might be foreign objects. But things coming in produce from overseas, that kind of thing. But now domestically, cleaning the planes very deeply, but there are some differences among the airlines, notable differences. For example, blocking the middle seats. Some are doing it, some aren't. Delta recently said that it would continue blocking most middle seats into early January, beyond the New Year period. JetBlue, Alaska, Southwest, a major airline at a lot of airports, still doing that to varying degrees in their cases into October. United and American, among large airlines, aren't doing that. United called that a PR stunt rather than something that actually helps. Obviously, the width of a middle seat, it's 18 inches. It's not true social distancing, not 6 feet. But for people who feel like, well, hey, that's better than nothing, some airlines are offering it and some aren't. So definitely some uniformity among all the airlines in terms of the sanitation, but also some differences.
There's been a lot of public health work to try to figure out how risky being in an airplane with a bunch of other humans is. What do we know as far as what you're seeing?
Well, it's no riskier than being in that same space with a large number of people. The problem is, obviously, right now, being close to other people carries some risk. So Emory University down in Atlanta, for example, did a study a couple of years ago. So this was before COVID, but just to find out about how people get sick on airplanes. And they basically found out that, you know, people who get sick on airplanes tend to be sitting in middle seats, maybe aisle seats. People get sick less often if they sit in the window seat. You know, there's nothing magical about the window seat. It's just that when you're sitting on the window, you're not surrounded by as many other people. So it's the same kinds of things that expose you in any other environment, being near people who are sick, touching surfaces that might have germs on them. Nothing particular to airplanes. The air really is, as you heard at the beginning there in that mix of the safety announcements, the air really isn't dirty, dirtier than other air. So that part's kind of a myth. But if you're sitting right next to somebody who's sick, you're susceptible, just like you would be sitting next to that person at a bar or in any other environment.
even if people are persuaded that flying is reasonably safe, do they have anywhere to go if their in-person conference has switched to online, if they can't go see the game in the ballpark, whatever? A lot of the reasons we like to fly aren't there anymore, right?
Right, and that's what's driving a lot of this, just like it's driving decreases in public transportation use and driving even, right? These are all what you call, what economists call intermediate goods, right? Something else, something that you use to do something else that you really want to do, right? So exactly, if you can't go to that conference, or if you're not comfortable going and visiting those family members who, you know, you worry about, even if you're not worried about yourself, they are of an age or of an underlying health state that you don't want to expose them to whatever you might have. Those are all reasons not to fly right now. And look, I mean, the reality is that COVID spread around the world largely through travel, right? So it is kind of a delicate dance here. Airlines saying, look, there's no inherent risk to air travel per se, which literally is true because of what I said before, right? There's nothing special about an airplane makes it any worse than anything else. But there are just risks in society right now with COVID being what, the third biggest cause of death at this point in America, behind, I think, cancer and heart disease. So just things we have to mind in any environment. And when we travel, we do take certain risks. And we just, as you said, don't have as many things to do and as many places to go right now.
Talking to Seth Kaplan, transportation analyst for NPR, looking at the latest in the airline industry. Seth, as I mentioned, the airlines got some federal help. They're looking for more. What have they gotten? What do they want?
They got $25 billion roughly in grants, most of that $25 billion. They don't have to pay back. Then they were able to get some more loans. The string attached to that first bunch of aid was that they wouldn't furlough any employees. I'm talking direct airline employees. I mean, lots of other job losses throughout the transportation and travel industry. But that expires at the end of September. So now they want more aid. And the major string again would be keeping people employed through the end of March, another 6 months. Now, a lot of employees have already accepted buyout packages. The airlines were dangling to try to get people to voluntarily leave. So what they're trying to do is avoid those mandatory furloughs and layoffs. But that's all caught up in much bigger political questions right now, and along with the, are Americans going to get another $1,200 check, stimulus, all that. That's caught up. There seems to be actually some broad support from both sides. President Trump has said he is fine with the idea of airline aid. Democrats, largely, there are some of the more fiscally conservative Republicans who just don't want to spend that kind of money in general. So we'll see what happens there, but probably not so much an airline industry specific answer. It's just a question of whether the broader deal gets done.
We asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page if they had flown lately. Liz writes, I flew at the end of July on Southwest, middle seat vacant, mask required, and required to be properly worn, social distancing in airport. Liz says it seemed that people were very conscientious, didn't seem to be a lot of grumbling, self-isolated for 14 days when I returned home, Liz says. We see, the horror story videos online, Seth, fights breaking out over somebody didn't wear their mask or whatever, but by and large, are things going pretty smoothly?
Yeah, and I think they've gone more smoothly ever since the airlines have stopped allowing very many exceptions. They basically said at this point, if you're more than 2 years old, you need to be wearing a mask. And if you can't do it, in the case of a lot of these airlines, for whatever reason, no matter how legitimate, then maybe you just can't travel right now. That's pretty much the position that they've taken. Earlier on, a lot of judgment in the hands of employees. And that led to a lot of those situations we've seen. There was a fight just the other day on an American Airlines flight that, the video is on the internet. I mean, it's still happening, but seems to be more consistent enforcement than there had been at the beginning.
Last minute, Seth, what are you watching for next?
Looking ahead in Wisconsin, I took a quick look before what airlines are scheduling going forward. So on one hand, a lot more people are traveling now than a few months ago. On the other hand, again, with that second wave of COVID, each month starting in May, there had been more seats than the month prior as a percentage of what there was a year ago. In September, that goes into reverse a little bit. August was the high. We're in the middle of it. 62% as many seats leaving Wisconsin airports as August 2019. In September, back down to 51%. So let's see in October going forward what airlines are scheduling, because that tells us, that's kind of their crystal ball in terms of how many people they think are going to be flying.
Seth, thanks again for joining us today.
You got it, Rob. Thank you.
Seth Kaplan is a transportation analyst for NPR and WBUR's Here and Now. He's a former managing partner for Airline Weekly. We talked to him about the tough financial situation facing airlines and what the fall could look like as the pandemic continues.